Now, we're in a world of temptation, and God does not take us out of the world. If you read the back of the bulletin, we have a little article there by Mr. Spurgeon on John 17. I pray for them. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them in the world. And in this world of lust and temptation and opposition, God, by His grace, is keeping His people pure, keeping us faithful, and He proves our faith. And He proves that we will serve Him and not the flesh and not the world. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher speaking to you from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. And we invite you, of course, any Sunday to our services here, 10:30 and 6. For all the details of our website, phone number, email, and so on, church location and map, you can get the details at the close of the program as you stay tuned. The hymn today is Sweet Hour of Prayer. But the main message is help in time of temptation. And there are many temptations that God's people face. We have the sheer lack of faith that just sometimes hits us. We seem to lose sight of our confidence, and we lose that absolute certainty that we are on the right path, and we may start looking back. And in that hour, the devil comes and sows the seeds of doubt. And there are some who may be very discouraged and very confused at that point. But then the Spirit of God comes and breathes upon us, and He pours that oil of life into our souls, and the fire of faith burns up again, and we rest in our blessed Lord and Redeemer. And that's what we are to do as Christians, to rest in the Lord, put our confidence in Him. And I hope that this message today will lead you to resting in the Savior.
Seasons of distress and grief.
1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." We learn from that opening statement of verse 13 that all Christians must endure temptation. Temptation is the reality of the world in which we live. And to ignore it, to neglect that reality, is to set ourselves up for a fall. Notice verse 12, right before this, it says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I read a little excerpt by Mr. Spurgeon, and he said, "Do not forget that you were once the servant of the devil. Now that you've broken free by the power of the gospel, or the Lord has set you free, do not think the devil is going to give up. He is still going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you and I are pilgrims, strangers in the devil's territory. He claims he wants to be the God of this world. He wants to rule here, and he wants you back into his fold. And so we must never forget that as soldiers of Christ, we are on the battlefield. Mr. Spurgeon also went on with a little illustration, and he said, "As mosquitoes are said to bite strangers more than natives, so will the trials of earth be sharpest to you." Now here in this verse 12, the wherefore, and you'll notice how that verse 12 began with, "Wherefore let him thinketh he standeth," it takes us right back to the verses 1 to 11, which is a history of Israel. And the apostle says that Israel is an example to us. These are in samples, verse 11. "Now these things happened unto them for in samples." Now if you go back over those verses, and we'll go back please to verse 6, and you will see that they were overcome firstly by lust. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things. And when you read the history of Israel, the book of Numbers, how they hankered to go back to Egypt, they lusted for the garlics and the leeks and the old life of Egypt, and of course for the idols of Egypt as well. When they made that golden calf, they were still thinking of how they lived and behaved in Egypt. And it was their lust that got them into trouble. And we're warned by that example. Verse 7, "Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them." Now, when you understand the church at Corinth in the Greek-Roman world, you will realize there was a dreadful mix of worship and idolatry in the whole culture. You couldn't live in Greece under Roman occupancy at that time and not be faced with meats, foods, and festivities that were all dedicated to idolatry. And Paul is addressing that. And he said, this is no different from what Israel faced in the Old Testament. And they fell into idolatry. That's a warning to you. That's your example, not to fall into that snare. When you go to verse 8, you will see another way by which they were tempted and fell. "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed." That was another really big problem in the city of Corinth. Corinth was well known for its mixture of religious ceremonies and fornication. Slave girls who were brutalized in the name of pagan religion. And these Corinthians that were now in the Christian church were delivered from that. But they were still tempted by that. It was fresh in their minds. It was all around them. As they would mingle in the streets with their neighbors and friends, they would get reports of the vanity and the lewdness of that fornicating behavior that was going on in Corinthian society. Now, we live in a society today that is greatly troubled by the same sexual sins, lusts, and temptations that not only are in the world, but unfortunately, Christians are taunted, tempted. They have to battle an awful fight to relieve themselves and release themselves from that awful form of temptation. Then you go to verse 9, and you will see something that really makes the hair stand on your head. Neither let us tempt Christ. Now, how would we possibly do that? Well, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. They murmured, they complained, they got upset at the way God was leading and feeding them. And that can happen to you and me too. We can end up tempting, or we can betray our faith in the Lord, mock it, murmur against it, get unhappy with it, and end up grieving the Lord in a terrible way. There are two other times in the Bible when we read of the Lord Jesus being tempted. One was with the devil in the wilderness after his temptation, how he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil came and tempted Christ. There's another reference, and that is a lawyer who came to the Lord Jesus. You read of this in Luke 10, and he came tempting the Lord with questions. He was obviously trying to trip him up. He was trying to injure the Lord's reputation. And in that way, he was tempting the Lord Jesus. And all of these, we're told here, verse 11, these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. I want to introduce you to this word admonition. It is the Greek word nouthesia. Have you ever heard of nouthetic counseling? If you know of a man called J. Adams, he is into Christian counseling, and I would call it biblical Christian counseling, and he believes in what is called nouthetic counseling, and it simply means face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, where you face a person with their sin. Now, the psychologists will not do this. They will come up with excuses for men's sin. And that's the difference between mere human psychology and nouthetic biblical counseling. The nouthetic is face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball, face up to what you've done and the evil that you've committed. And this is the word that's used right here in verse 11. These things are written for our admonition. And they really are a form of rebuke. Now, we're in a world of temptation, and God does not take us out of the world. If you read the back of the bulletin, we have a little article there by Mr. Spurgeon on John 17. I pray for them. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them in the world. And in this world of lust and temptation and opposition, God, by his grace, is keeping his people pure, keeping us faithful, and he proves our faith. And he proves that we will serve him and not the flesh and not the world. There's a great example of this in Abraham, when God asked Abraham to take his son Isaac up into Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. That was God's instruction. We know the outcome of the story, that he didn't have to go through with it. God provided a lamb. Nevertheless, Abram's faith and his obedience was tested. And you will read of this account in Genesis 22, that God tempted Abraham. That means he proved him. Now, it was not sinful because God was commanding it, but God was testing. And when God allows you to be tempted, he's testing you, testing your faith, testing your obedience. And you could let down your guard and you could roll over and fall right into sin. Also, the Apostle Paul is a great example, because you remember when he had those thorn in the flesh that he prayed three times to be delivered from, that God said, no, but I'm going to give you the grace to bear it. Now, why did God put that thorn in Paul's flesh? But here we are, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. And the question is, why did God allow that thorn in the flesh in the Apostle Paul, a faithful man, a man who was blessed in so many ways, but God allowed him to have this problem, this thorn in his flesh? Well, it says here, verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest, in case, I should be exalted above measure." And that's repeated two times in that one verse. Lest I should be exalted above measure. And so in Paul's spiritual high point, when he was given revelations, when he was being used of God in a wonderful way to build his church, God sent this thorn to keep him humble. And God said, I'm not going to take it away, but I will give you the grace to endure that and to live with it and to glorify me by enduring it. There might be something in your life tonight that you would rather be done with. A burden, a problem, an irritation, and you wish it was changed. And maybe you have prayed about it. And maybe you've cried to God that you'd be delivered from it. But God has said, I'm going to leave it with you, and I'm going to use this in your life to glorify me. That is a form of testing, and it tests our faith. Now, temptation comes to us all, and temptation could be the devil's work, and it was the devil's work, and Paul said, because it was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And Satan's always interested in getting at the Christian. Satan's always interested in pulling down the Christian, tarnishing your testimony, destroying your usefulness. And God may sometimes allow that in some measure, because he's going to prove your faith and test your obedience to him. Now, temptation, of course, comes in many forms. And this is the subtlety of the devil. And he will come and attack in various ways. And in the craft of the devil, he very often catches the Christian at his strong point. Because that's the thing we think we're good at. That's the thing we have maybe had some success in. And we've become proud of it. And we think we can handle that because we've done it before and done it repeatedly. And it has worked every time. And we are in danger at our high point. And so when God blesses you and you're at a high point in your Christian life, be on guard. The devil will seek a way to enter in to bring you down. There's something else to learn from that first statement in verse 13. And that is, the temptation you go through, you are not alone. You're not alone. We're told in 1 Corinthians 10:13, There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. It is the devil's tactic to isolate you. And of course, this works in the military world as well. The enemy always wants to isolate the foot soldier, or that tank that's away from the pack, or that aircraft that's in the airspace all alone. And the enemy will target that lone enemy, or put you in the bunker and make you think there's nobody cares about you. You've lost touch. And sometimes the devil comes and isolates you and gives you the impression that you have no encouragement, no strength, no promises to plead, and God doesn't care. Now, we sang the hymn tonight, Does Jesus Care? And we sang together, Oh, yes, He cares. But when you're in the bunker of trouble and you're down in under the pressure of some assault, it's very hard to sing that song with all our hearts. And that's the devil's tactic. But notice the statement here. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, another area need to be on our guard, and that is temptation is very often sudden. And when you have a wicked thought in your mind that came out of nowhere, you can be sure that's the devil's dart. When it just comes out of nowhere, suddenly you're attacked, that is the mark of Satan's work. Now, we're coming to this text, and I've been taken with 1 Corinthians 13, and I want to be faithful to this text, because on this subject, you know, you understand, a preacher can go anywhere. We could start talking about the pornography world, the computer, the internet. We could talk about all those things that are big, huge problems against the Christian. And they're real, and they're in our society today. Never has the Christian be faced with temptation. There are things that will pop up on your email that give you access to the deepest sins of this world that ought to scare us and drive us to our knees. Now, when you look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, what, in your opinion, let me be careful, because when I talk about in your opinion, you know, we could end up with X number of opinions here tonight. But I want you to see what is evidently, in verse 13, the key statement of this text. The key statement that if you were to erase, would make everything else pointless. What is the heart of the apostle's statement in verse 13? And I will say it this, but God is faithful. And there is our hope in temptation. You see, I'm not going to preach tonight techniques to overcome temptation. I'm not going to preach principles. I'm not going to preach little tactics to overcome temptation. But I'm going to point you to the one who is faithful. And he has promised here, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Now we want to escape. That's the end result. We want to be delivered from the forces of temptation. And here's a great promise God has made. The Lord has promised to you and me a way of escape, be it lust, losses, crosses, sorrows, the devil's forces. God has promised a way of escape. And this is an appeal to God's faithfulness. If God was not faithful, we would be without hope. But this is now our strong refuge and our strong tower. God is faithful. He will not allow us or suffer us to be tempted above what we're able, and will, for his children who want to be delivered, He will open a way of escape. Faithfulness. Well, faithfulness in man is very tenuous, but faithfulness in God is rock certain. And we can serve God, walk with God, and trust God for eternity with absolute confidence. An explorer was going through the wilds of Alaska. It was bitter cold. He came to a little church and mission school where a lone missionary preached and taught. "What are you doing here in this cold, dreary, out-of-the-way place? How can you waste your life in a place like this?" asked the explorer. The missionary smiled and answered, "God sent me here. Here I shall remain until I die, or until God gives me further orders." The explorer said, "But the task here is hopeless. You have made so few converts in all these years. The results have been so small." The missionary said, "Results are not my business. I leave the results with God. I must be faithful and do my best for God. Someday, results will come." And that's the mark of a faithful servant of God. No doubt we all want to see immediate results. We want to see the seed produce new life and much fruit. And of course, we like to be can-opener Christians, where we can get immediate results and gratification or satisfaction of seeing things develop. But in the work of God, we have to trust the Lord. And where he sends us, we go, we use the means that he has ordained, and we trust him for the eternal fruit that will be unto the glory of his mighty name. Let that encourage you in God's service today, that God is faithful. He cannot fail. And if he commands us, let us go at his bidding and trust him for and with the results. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of his precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of his word.